Today we're going to start here at the top of Lamed Tet Amud Aleph, three lines down, a continuation of some of these stories that either Kofar or Amin approached one of the Chachamim with the question, something like Kofar the Rav Gamliel, Elokeichem Ganavu, your God is a thief. Dichtiv, because it says, V'pel Hashem Elokeim Tardimal Adam Vayishan, Shem put the Adam into a slumber, and he slept, in order to take out the rib to make chava. So why is he taking out? Why is he putting Adam to sleep to take out the rib? He's sneaking in and stealing his rib while he's not looking. So Amr Alei Vratei, so Gamliel's daughter said to him, Shavke, leave him alone. Da'anam Hadran Alei, I'll take care of him. You know, step aside, I'll take care of this kofa. So Amr Alei, Tnuli Duchus Echad, give me a judge. So Amr Alei, Lamalayach, she says, what do you need a judge for? He said, Listim bo aleinu alaylo. We had these thieves that came to our house last night. They walked away with a pitcher or some sort of encasement full of silver coins. And then they left instead a encasement full of gold coins. They stole our silver coins and left behind gold coins. So but we should have those types of thieves show up all the time. I mean, that's all to benefit. So she says, "Velo, wasn't it?" Or Emily, "Velo yofa hayalo la adam rishon shenatlu mimenu tzelachat venugo shivcha l'sham show." Meaning that God took away one rib and handed him back a whole woman. What could be bad about that? That's like taking away a silver pot and replacing it with the gold, silver coins and replacing the golden coins. So Amalei. Or taking away a silver pitcher and leaving us with a gold pitcher. So this is my question. Why did God have to put him to sleep and do it without him knowing? Why didn't he do it while Adam was awake? And then he could have seen what he was doing. Bring me some raw meat. They brought it to her. So she took it and she skewered it and put it under the coals right in front of him while he watched. She buried it in the remnants to cook it. Afikta, she took it out. Amalei, achol. She says, here, take this, eat it. Mihai. So Amalei, it's disgusting. I can't eat it. So Amalei, v'adam rishon ami, yavad shekila v'hedja v'miso. If he had God had taken it openly or with his knowledge, then Chav also would have been disgusting to him. Just like when she prepared the meat right in front of him and did all that was needed for it to be edible in front of him, that also put him off or made him reluctant to eat it, or it not seemed that it wasn't savory or wasn't of interest to him. Same would be true if Adam was awake when he took the rib out and made Chava. It also, Chava wouldn't be of interest to him. But now that it was done when he was sleeping, she's of interest to him. So that was the daughter of Rav Gamliel responding to this kofar. So I'd explained it as the daughter of Rav Gamliel. And thank you, Gabriel, for pointing out that there, as I said, there was the daughter of the kofar. That was one who responded over here. So I'm like kofar to Rav Gamliel. Another kofar asked a question to Rav Gamliel. Yadana, elokaichu maika avit. I know what your God, I know what he does. I mean, I know his ways, I know what's going on with him. So itnagid v'itnach. So Rabbi Gamliel went ahead and sighed and groaned. So Rabbi Gamliel, am I high? So this gopher says to Rabbi Gamliel, what's going on? What's bothering you? So Rabbi Gamliel, ben echad yesh li b'krachei yam. I have this son who's out far off, in a faraway islands and faraway lands. V'yesh li giguyim alav, and I really miss him. I'd love to see him. V'ina demachavet li ni'ale, and I want you to, I want to go see him. I want him to come here and see me. Samar miyadana echanu says, and the kofar says back to him, I don't know where he is. How do you want me to bring him back to you right now? I don't know where he is. Samai digabara lo yadat digabashmai biyadat. You don't know what's going on down here on earth. You think you're going to know what's going up on the shemayim? So he's just proving to him that that what he thought to be simple, I know what's going up in the heavens. I mean, if you don't know what's going on right in front of you, where you can actually touch it and it's tangible and you can reach it, then certainly you don't know what's going on up in the heavens. So I'm like, Kofar the Rav Gamliel, Ktiv, Munei Mispar the Kochavim. Hashem counts the stars. My Rabutai. He says, what's such a chiddush that God can count the stars? Anam Atzina the Mimnei Kochvei. So I can also count the stars. What do you mean? God counts the stars, me too. I count the stars also. So Aite, Rabbi Gamliel brought chavushe, some sort of fruit. I don't know, a quince, some sort of fruit here. So Adino, Barbila, he put it into either like a strainer or a mixer. When he was shaking it around. So then he says, Amalei, Maninu, why don't you count the seeds, or I don't know if the pits, whatever was in this mixture that he was shaking around. He says to the kofer, why don't you count it while I'm shaking it? So Amalei, Ukimnu, stop shaking it, and then I'll be able to count it. I mean, if you have to be moving around, I'll count it. So Amalei, Rikia, Nami, Ochi, Adru. He says the Rikia also moves. So how, if you can't count the seeds or the pits that are in this mixture that I'm shaking around, then how are you able to count the stars? The same thing happens in the sky. The sky's moving, and also you think that you can count the stars. This is what he said to him. Mani li kochvei. Says, I counted the stars. The kofer says, I counted the stars. So emali kachich v'shinech amavu. So he goes, all right, you counted the stars. Just, you know what, I have one little question for you. How many teeth and molars do you have in your mouth? So Shadi Yedi the Pume stuck his hand into his mouth and become money though, and he started to count them. So he said, Amalei, Rabbi Gleno says to him, Dika Bhume Khloyadata, Dika Birkiadata. Says, you don't even know how many teeth you have in your mouth. You're gonna tell me that you know how many stars there are in the sky that you're able to count them? Yeah, and something that was proximate to you, you don't have any knowledge about. And why does that mean that you can have knowledge about, or why do you assume that you have knowledge about that which is not within your grasp? Right, Amalei Kofer the Rebbe Gamliel. Kofer said to Rebbe Gamliel, Misha bara harim lo bara ruach. The one who created the mountains or the hills did not create the wind. Shneamar, because it says in Amos, Kinei yotzer harim uvore ruach. Right, yotzer and bore, he uses two different verbs. One is yotzer harim and the other one is bore ruach. So it's an indication that there were two creators. One was the yotzer and one was the bore. And one made the harim and one made the ruach. So Ela Me'at, Rebbe Gamliel says, Me'ata gabi Adam dichtiv. What are you going to do with Adam? It says, Vayivra vayitzer. The two verbs are used in the creation of man. One is Vayivra and one is Vayitzer. Achinami. So now what are you going to say? Mishu barazel or barazeh? That someone who made this part of the man didn't make this. The part of the man, Shinemar. Anotea ozen halo yishma. Vim yotzer ayin halo yabit. Right? Because it says the same thing here. You have notea ozen and an ayin, which are... Wait, I skipped the line. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Mishrazel lo barazet. Tefach al tefach yeshbo ba'adam. There's an area that's a tef by a tefach wide, and a person shnei kavim yeshbo, and there are two orifices in that area. Mishrazel lo barazet. The one who created this didn't create this. We're talking about the eye and the ear here as the orifices. Shnei the pasuk says, note ozen alo yishma v'yom yotzer ayin lo yabit. So again, the hanotea and the anotea and a yotzer are used as the two verbs over here, one for ozen and one for ayin. So here they're in this small area in the man, they're not that far apart. You're going to say there were two creators between them. So he says, Amalei, Kofer says, yeah, why not? Why not say there were two creators? So Amalei, Ubashad Mita, Kulan Nitbaisu. So Gamliel says back, what happens? When it's time to die, everybody agrees that it's the same time to die. You know, there's never machlokas about when a person is going to die between the two different creators or the two different powers over here. How could it be that everybody dies, you know, without any problem? That the eyes and the ears, everything goes at the same time. So Amalei, I mean, that's his response to the kofer. Amalei ham gusha la meimar. So there was this amgusha, which is like a mechashef. Something that was into sorcery, witchcraft, demons. Said to a meimar, mi palgach li ilai du hormis. The upper half of your body belongs to Hormis. Mipalgach l'tatai da'ahormis. And the lower half of your body belongs to Ahormis. Rashi says Ahormis is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The lower half belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The upper half belongs to Hormis. Tosfos brings down the Rabbeinu Tam. We've seen this Rabbeinu Tam back in the Gemara in Baba Basra. This Hormis is brought up in the Rabbi Barchano stories. And over there, Rabbeinu Tam says also over here that the Aleph, over here, it's not Ahormiz, but they're both. One is Hormiz, and one is Hormin, with a nun at the end. It's Hormiz and Hormin. So either it's two different shadim that we're talking about here, according to Rabbeinu Tam, according to Rashi, it's one half is a shade, one half belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he says, Amalei, Imkein, Eich Shavich Le'a Hormiz, the Hormiz, Avurei Ma'ir Barei. He says, listen, I mean, it's a really nice idea, but then how does a Hormiz... I mean, whatever the lower half is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the other shade, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow the upper half of the body belonging to Hormiz to always move their stuff or their liquids through that part of the body. That whenever you drink or you eat, it goes into the Hermes part of the body, and then you're going to dispose of it when you go to the right. When you go to expel the waste from the body, that comes out of the Ahurmis part of the body. So how is it that Ahurmis is always acquiescing to allow all this to flow through his part, half of the body? So Kezar the Rabbi Tanchum, Tal Havu Kulan L'Amachad. Let us all be one nation, one big party together. We'll all be one group of people. So Amar Chayei says, listen, I don't know what to tell you here. We already have a bris milah, so we can't be like you because you are have an orla. So there's no way we could be like you because we already have the orla is already cut away. Why don't we do it the other way around? Why don't you guys get a bris milah and join us? Right? I mean, it's the same as the story of Shechem. Right? You want to join us? You know, we'll be la'am achad. All right, fine. You want to be an am achad? Get a bris milah. You'll be an am achad. Amalei, Meimar Shapir Kramart says, good answer. You really did. You did. That was a great answer to me. You really trumped me over here. Mio, little problem here now. Called the Zaki Lamalko, the Shaju Labivar. Anybody who upends the king, right, or gets one up on the king, his punishment is that he is placed into the cage with the wild animals. Right, similar to like Daniel, that the Gover Riot, they have the hungry animals are out there. So Shaju the Bibar Velo Achlua.
Into the lion fence.
Right?
Into the lion fence.
In the lion fence. Right. So they have, so they put him into the Bibar Velo Achlua and they didn't eat him. To Rabbi Tanchum. So Amalei Mina, so there's this one Min that was standing there. Haida la Achlua Mishum to Lo Kaifinu. The reason they didn't eat him is because the animals weren't hungry.
So.
Right, so he goes, he says, all right, we'll test that out. They threw this min into the cage, and sure enough, he was eaten up in a split second. So I'm a kofer, the Rav Gamliel. Says kofer that Pershom ago, Amito kol be'asara shechinta shario. Is it really true that anytime 10 people get together, the shechina comes? Kama shechinta yika. How much shechina is there to go around? You may think in the morning, every minion's got the shechina hanging out with them. How much shechina's got there? So, Kariya Lishame, Rav Gamliel called to the servant or the worker of this kofir, Machabe Apitka. He gave him a slap on his neck or on his head. Samalei Amai. He says, why are you doing this to me? What, you know, meaning that, what's going on? Gamliel speaking. Amalei Rav Gamliel, Amai, Al Shim Shabbat Beit to the kofir. How'd you let the son come into the house of the kofir? Amalei shim shakuli alma necha. So the kofir responds to him, listen, everybody wants the son in the house. What do you mean? What are you slapping around my servant for letting the son into the house? Everybody wants the son to come in the house. So ma shim shadachad mi elef alfei rubo shimash shamashai dekamei or shim shai dekamei akodesh baruch hu necha. So when it comes to the Shemesh, the sun, which is one of the myriad of servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or one of this myriad of constellations of Hashem, and that everybody loves, Shechin of Hashem itself, so also, here you have the sun that can reach so many people and affect so many people at once, and it's beneficial to everybody, so too the Shechin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the same way. It'll be to the benefit of, right, to everyone. It's not such a far-fetched idea that the Shekhinah could be present in all these different places. So I'm really have a mina the Rabbi Yubau. Elokechem gachchan hu. Your God is a, I would call him a badchan. Right? He's a joker. He's a comic. So come on, Yecheskel. He's telling Yecheskel, shchav al tzidchas mali. No, lay down on your left side. And after he says, shchav al tzidcha yemini. And then go rest on your right side. He's like playing around. He's joking around with Yechezkel. They lay on your left side, lay on your right side. How could it be? So he says, "Atahu Talmida, Amalei, my time at the Shviato." At the same time, another Talmud of Rabbi Bo came along and says, "What's the reason behind Shvius? Why do we have Shmita?" Amalei, Ashta Amina Luchu Milta de Shavilu Tavayo. Says, "You know what? I'm gonna kill two birds with one stone. I'll give you an answer that's relevant for both of you." Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Israel Zaru Sheish Bishmitu Sheva. Plant, work the land for 6 years, and then on the seventh year let it go fallow. Kedei Sheteidu Sha'aretz Shelihu. So you should know that the land belongs to me. I mean that you won't become haughty. You won't become get to this feeling that the land belongs to you and that everything's done by you. But every seventh year, you let the land go fallow, so you know who it really belongs to. You know who the real owner here is. They didn't do this. El chatu. They sinned. V'galu. And they were put into galut. They were put into exile. In a normal world, a normal case, a human king, that someone rebelled against him, if he's without compassion, he wipes them out, kills them all. If he has compassion, he only kills half of them. If he's super compassionate, he takes the leaders, and he afflicts the leaders, so they should know that there's something wrong happening over here. Afkach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyaser et Yechezkel k'day mareka amonotahem shel Yisrael. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is causing Yechezkel discomfort in order to wipe out the sins of Klal Yisrael. So it doesn't lay on your left, lay on your right. I mean, it's inconvenience him. I think the point of the Gemara here, the Gadot over here, is the obvious question: is it the king that makes the people, or the leaders that make the people, or the people that make the leaders? I mean, that there is some sort of symbiotic relationship between the leader chosen by the people and the leader's direction of the people. And who do you blame when there's a problem in the generation? Do you blame the leaders of the generation or the people themselves? Who's at fault over here? Is it the leader or is it the people themselves? And you see that the different the kings have different responses to that rebellion. Do you kill the people? Or you may ask the Gdolim, do you take the leadership and say you're responsible for what happened to those that are below you? So over here, this idea that the leaders are also responsible or are culpable in some way for what goes wrong in the generation because they should have directed otherwise or led the people in a different direction. So Amalei Avu Mina L'Rabbi Bo, Elokeichem Kohen Hu. Your God is a Kohen, Dichtiv. Truma says, give me Truma. Take from me Truma. Truma belongs to the Kohanim. So if God's asking for Truma, he must be a Kohen. Kikavre le Moshe b'may tovil. She said, well, if he's a Kohen, then when he buried Moshe Rabbeinu, how did he become Tahor again? He became Tamei, marrying Moshe Rabbeinu. So Tosas asks, wait, why wasn't he worried about the frach? How did he, halo kashalei heyach nitma. He doesn't say, how did he become Tamei to bury Moshe? I mean, that a Kohen is only allowed to become Tamei to his seven relatives. How come he didn't ask the question, how did Hashem become Tamei? All he wants to know is, how did Hashem become Tahor? Very good. So that's it. The Tosfos answers, Banim, Yisrael Yikru Banim Lamakom. Bnei Yisrael called the children of Hashem, so therefore they are one of the seven relatives. So that didn't bother this min. But what bothered him is, how does Hashem become Tahor afterwards? So he says, V'chitema, if you said that he went and dipped in the mikveh, that's how he began. If Dave, Mi madad bit sha'alo ma'im. Who could count or who could enumerate the water in his palm? And that Hashem's, the water in his palm is already so great, how could he ever dip? What water could he dip in that would be sufficient to retire Kodesh Baruch Hu? So he responds, Amalei benura tovil. He dips into the mikvah of fire. Tifdiv, kinei Hashem be'esh yavo. Hashem comes through with a fire. U'misalka tviluta benura. Says, since when is a... dipping in the mikvah. You can choose your mikvah. You go in the water, or you go in the fire, but to decide to give a lam Torah. So he says, says, that's the main type of mikvah that you want to go to. Forget about the water mikvah. You want to go to the fire mikvah. So he says, right, that's talking about the, by Midian, by the battle with Midian, they want to kasha the kelim. Right, it says, and then it doesn't go on fire, taviru b'mayim, you wash it off. Over there, it's talking about the difference between libun and either hagala or hadacha, meaning that the items that are used in fire have to be fired in order to, right, they have to reach the point of libun in order to kasher them. Things that are only used with water, meaning that they're not used on the open grill, not used under the fire, they're kashered through hagala. So he's obviously taking it out of context and just saying it, and that Rashi points out that it's a d'chiyah d'achil. That he's just pushing him off. It's not that he really believes that that's the meaning of the pasuk. The pasuk means, right, that which can't be, that is not used under a fire is done with, is kasha through hagala, or hadacha, or through rinsing off. But he said he took that to say that there is this type of tvilah of the fire, and that takes precedence, or is better than the tvilah b'mayim.
Maybe he's telling him, don't
bury his mayim. Right. They have, Rav Soloveitchik and Alei Tshuva also discusses this idea that there's two different types of tara. Is the Tara Ba'ish and Tara Ba'mayim, but the idea that the Tara Ba'ish is a Tara that's, is, or Mitzvila Ba'ish, which is Mitahir, in a sense that it's totally mehadar the adam versus the tefillah b'mayim, which is just mechaper, that there's this idea that the fire. But again, obviously there it's in the allegorical sense, not in the real sense that you're dipping in the fire. Right, who's like the nation in Klal Yisrael that's one singular nation amongst the in the land? So my Rebbe Tayu, he says, well, what's the big deal? Atun Ami Arvitu Behan Dan, you also are mixed up with the rest of us. Tiftev Kol Hagoyim Ka'in Knegdo. Right, it says in Yishayahu, all the nations together are Ka'in Knegdo, as if not before him, as if nothing before him. This is the it's interesting. Here is this right? This is the Torah that we read for Parshat Etchanan for Nachum Nachum Lami. So we're just quoting here all these things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu do, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we read. This is about Nachum Nachum Lami. So here that we just quoted before Yishayahu Mem by Mim Adad B'Shalom Ma'ayim, and then also now Kol Goyim Ka'in Kenegdo, by the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Amalei Mididchu Asidu Alan. He says, from your own Nevi'im, they testified about us. I mean, who's their own Navi? Navi Bil'am. It says, V'goyim lo yitchashav, that the Jews will not be counted amongst the other nations. Rabbi Lazar, Rami K'tiv, says, Tov Hashem lakol. Hashem is good to everyone. K'tiv, Tov Hashem l'koivav. That Hashem is good to those that trust in Him, that have hope in Him. So, mashal, adam sheesh lo pardes. Someone has an orchard. Kushu mashket kulo. When he waters the pardes, he waters everything, because it's one action, it's one effort to water the whole orchard. So he does it all in one shot, he waters everything there. Shuo there, when it comes to ho, right, to turn over the dirt, inu there la tovim shabem. He only goes and does that under which he wants to keep, or the best of the crop. So, I mean that sometimes people benefit, everyone benefits from taking care of the few. But sometimes you can direct the benefit towards those few. That's the same thing over here. Just like Kodesh Baruch Hu is trying to be meitiv l'tzadikim. So sometimes when he gives to the tzadikim, he can ends up that he gives to them and everyone, because to supply or to provide for the tzadikim, he also ends up providing for the rishayim. In other cases, when Hashem looks specifically, at the individual, or to bring something on the individual himself, there he can differentiate. He'll make a differentiation between the tzadik and the rasha. Right now, Vayavor Harino b'machane. So there was a, here, it's from the story, this is from the story of Achav and the Zevel, and Achav who killed Navot, and then it's promised by the Navi that he'll be killed in battle, and he ends up being killed in battle. He and Yehoshaphat go out into battle together, and then he is killed in that battle. And then Vayavor Harino b'machane means that there was a rumor, or a, it wasn't really a rumor, it was the news spread like wildfire through the camp that Achav had been killed. And then they said, everybody should go home. We'll see that at the end of that pasuk is quoted. So everybody should go home. So Amar Rabbi Achav Bar Chanina, Bavod Rishayim, Rina. The Rina over here is not like you would think, that is the news, right, or the headlines that came through. Everybody heard what had happened. But the Rina here is Ha Rina, with the Hey Aidiyah. That Rina, that praise, or that wonderful song that we know, that applies over here, b'machaneh. That type of song went through the machaneh. What's the heyaideh? What type of Rina is that? B'avod v'shayim Rina, when the v'shayim are wiped out or destroyed, there's song. So that's what it meant over here. It meant that there was a song. When Achav died, everybody was singing, because this Rasha was killed. So, Achav, so it's b'avod v'shayim Rina, b'avod Achav ben Omri Rina. When Achav ben Omri was killed, there was the song of the praise to Hashem. Does God really rejoice at the downfall of those that are evil? Aktiv. B'tzeit lifnei achalutz v'omrim hodu l'Hashem kilulam chasto. So over here it's talking about in Divrei Yamim, it's talking about they're going out to battle. Here again it's Yehoshaphat is also involved in this case over here. And Yehoshaphat's going out to battle. And they asked, before they go out to do battle against Moab, he asked the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are they going to be successful? Or they got a Navi? And the Navi comes and tells them that everything's going to be fine. You don't have to do anything. You just go out to battle and you'll watch Yeshuat Hashem. So Yehoshaphat does something very interesting. He says, listen, B'tzeit lifnei achalutz. He says, before the front troops, the front line troops, the chalutz are the front line troops, right, the forward guard, before them he sent out the musicians, the levim, and the musicians went before them, And they're singing, Odu Lashem, Kilulam Chasto. They're singing praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, he was so mamin in Hashem that Hashem would take care of them, that he sent the army band in front of the army. And that they went out to battle with the band going first. Because he said Hashem did take care of them. And they were singing praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you see, obviously, that the quote here that is brought is not what we're familiar with. It's Odu Lashem, Kilulam Chasto. What's missing is Kitov. Right, why is there no Kitov over here? And this thanks Kitov. Hashem's not excited about the downfall of the Rishayim. He'd much rather that they are returned b'tshuva. So rather than them dying, if they're chozer b'tshuva, that's what he wants. So we don't have Hashem rejoicing. So here, where Yehoshaphat went out to battle with Ammon, he went out, he sent out the musicians, but the musicians were reserved in their praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said, Hod Hashem, Kilulam Chasto. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Ma'arech Tiv Lo Karav Zeh Al Zeh Kol Alayla, Semin Yonah Diyoma. We come in, so the Leil Kriyat Yam Suf, it says that when the two encampments, the two camps were there, I mean the camp of Bnei Israel and the camp of Mitzrayim behind them, it says Lo Karav Zeh Al Zeh Kol Alayla, they didn't get closer together all night. So Chazal Darish know that, Lo Karav Zeh Al Zeh, Karav Zeh Al Zeh is from the right, Kedusha, right, that is in the Nevuah, right, of the Maaseh Merkava. Lo Karav Zeh Al Zeh, Karav Zeh Al Zeh is an indication of the Malachim singing Shira. So where's the Lo Karav Zeh Al Zeh Kolai? The Malachim didn't sing Shira. Both the Shah Bikshu Malachi Shira Lamar Shira Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That moment the Malachi Shira wanted to sing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu praised for the destruction of the Mitzrim. How could it be that my handiwork is being drowned in the ocean, in the sea, and you are singing? Can't be. Yosef says Hashem does not rejoice, but he does have others rejoice on his behalf. I can show you that from Pasuk Tichtiv. It says at the end of Sefer Dvarim, here it's actually about Klal Yisrael themselves, it says Yasis, the Veloktiv Yasus, which is the Pasuk that is brought, that it's Hashem says that just, I will, Ken Yasis Hashem Lekechem La'avid Etchem, that Hashem will rejoice over the destruction of you, like I was sas, right? Just like the way I was sas on your, on you when you were good. But there it says, it sounds like talking about like Hashem, yasis. But yasis, he said, it doesn't say yasus, I will rejoice, but yasis, I will cause others to rejoice. So I will cause others to rejoice. Right, to Hifiel, thank you. Hifiel. So I will cause the active verb, but the active verb for to others, to drive others to do something. So I will cause others to rejoice about your downfall. So do over here, when it says that Hashem is not rejoicing over the Mapaltan Rishayim, then say he himself will not rejoice. But he will cause others to rejoice, or others will rejoice over that. And that's why Bnei Yisrael sing as Yashir, even though the Malachim cannot sing. Nevertheless, the Bnei Yisrael themselves are able to sing, and they do sing as Yashir. Shmamina. Vazanot Rachatsu. So this is actually in this goes back. The reason it's brought here is because it's from the pasuk that we brought before, which is Vayavorina b'machane, that the description of Achav's death. He dies in his chariot. He's bleeding to death in his chariot, and then he the chariot driver goes to the local car wash, and he takes in the chariot wash, and he washes out the chariot, and then the blood flows into the water that's there. And the dogs come and they lap up the blood from the water, and the zonot go and bathe in that water. So that is Mikayim the Nevuah. There was a Nevuah that was brought before him, that was what would happen to him. That the Achav would die a death, and the dogs would lap up his blood, and the zonot would be Rachatsu. That was the, Nevuah that was brought to him, that was given to him from, Eliyahu. So, where it says, alright, Zonot Rachatsu, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Lamarek Shtei Chazonot. The word Zonot here means, Rachazonot Rachatsu means that it cleaned up two prophecies that were given to Achav. So that's what it means over here. Cleaned up. Cleaned up means it cleaned up. It finished off two prophecies that were given about Achav. Achat Shel Michayahu, which is actually the one that was immediately preceding this case. Achat Shel Eliyahu. Right? Michiyahu Ktiv. By Michiyahu is the story right there. Yehoshaphat and comes. Achav calls Yehoshaphat to help him out in the battle, to go to battle against Aram. And then they have all these Nevi'ei Sheker that are prophesying before them. saying, listen, you're going to conquer Aram, it's going to be great, everything's going to be great. Yehoshaphat goes, listen, guys, are there any real Nevi'im around here? Can we get one real Nevi? So they said, oh, we know one guy, this guy, Michiyahu, but he always speaks badly about me. So I don't like him so much. So they bring Michiyahu around. They say to him, what's going to happen? He says, don't go to battle against Ramot Gilead. Go ahead, go to battle. So like, Achav shocked. What do you mean? Are you serious? Everybody else tell me to go to battle and you're saying go ahead? Like this is the first time you ever said anything good about me. He says, yes, go to battle, but you're not coming back. So that's what he says. He says that you're not coming back. So then Achav says to Yehoshaphat, see, I told you every time he comes, he tells me something bad. So over there it says, I am telling you, he says, the Tzidkiyahu there, there's one of the false Nevi'im comes and slaps Michiyahu in the face and says, why are you saying this? So he says to him, I promise you, Im shov tashu b'shalom lo diber Hashem bi. If you come back in peace, Hashem did not speak to me. And he incarcerates. He ends up, they take him, they incarcerate the Navi, and Tatum says, give him only bread and water, leave him there until I come back from this battle. And obviously, Achab does not come back from this battle. So there. Eliyahu Ktiv, and Eliyahu, it says about Achab, this is about after Navot, after he kills Navot with the Navi Sheker, he's able to kills Navot so they can get the Kerem of Navot. There he comes and gives him Nevoah. He says, "Mamakom shalakakua chavim et dam Navot." In the area that the dogs lapped up the blood of Navot, there will be your blood, and they will lap up your blood as well as the zonot will be rachatsu shama. So that's what the kiyum haNevoah is at the end. That the dogs came, lapped up the blood, and the zonot were rachatsu. So again, he says, don't literally a zonot rachatsu, but rather chezionam. The Nevoot were lapped, cleaned out. I mean that they were finished. And Nevoah of Michiyahu that you would not return in peace. And Nevoah of Eliyahu that the dogs would lap up the blood of Achav. Alright, so then it says, Rav Amar Dam Navot, Rav Amar Zonot Mamash. So that Rav says, no. When it says Zonot, it doesn't really mean Chezionot, it doesn't mean the visions, but rather it means Zonot Mamash. Achav Ish Mitunan Haya. He was a man that was not so interested in relations with his wife Yizebel. But Astalo Yizebel stayed to raise Zonot from Merkavto. So in order to excite him and to keep him passionate, his wife Yizebel made him two figurines of Zonot in his chariot. Kadesh Re'otan, so that he would gaze upon them, Vitchameim, and he would be excited. So then, that's Rava's explanation of what it means, the Zonot, that the Zonot were bathing in his blood was because the Zonot that were found, these figurines that were in his chariot, right, they were covered in his blood when he bled in the chariot. Now, v'ish mashach v'keshet l'tumo. So this is interesting there. In this battle with Aram, it's basically they're not v'yaket. And then he lined it up and he hit him. So they, at first in the battle, the army of Aram comes and he says, listen to me, don't go after the regular troops. Try to find the king and break through the king and kill the king. That's what you want. You want to get to the king. So they come to the battle, and they start chasing after Yehoshaphat, who's Melech Yehuda. So he starts to retreat, because they start to attack him to get him. He backs away, and then they realize that he's not the real king here. That the real king is Achav, Melech Yisrael. So then they don't know where he is. And then one of the soldiers was just shooting an arrow. It seems like unintentionally he shot an arrow. And it happened to land in between the armor of Achav. It got between two pieces of the armor and lands in and it gets Achav. It hits him, it wounds him mortally, and he dies from that wound. So what does it mean, tum'o? Well, it's a marlefi tum'o. That he was just doing it, he was doing it unintentionally, willy-nilly. He just shot the arrow, and it happened to be lucky that he landed on the king and right between the armor. Right? Rav Amar l'tameim shtei chazinot. Tumo means to bring an end to these two visions. Achad shel Michiyahu v'achad shel Eliyahu. To bring closure to the two nevuot, one of Michiyahu and one of Eliyahu.
Ftiv. It's funny, Rav was looking for a reference to both nevuot, but he rejected the one about Zonot.
Chazinot, right. And over here he says,
he
found it over here, l'tameim, right. Right. V'ktiv, v'yikra, achav, elovadjahu, asher alabayit. Achav calls to Avadjahu, who's a Navi Hashem, who works on his house. Avadjahu, yeah, you're Eim Hashem Amaod. Avadjahu was a very, very fearful of God. He was a man of Akash Baruch Hu. So my kamar kra. Why is the Pasuk testifying about Avadjahu that he was a Yarei Hashem? And what's so important about this? So I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm Rabbi Yaakov, Ktiv, by Yaakov it says, Nechashti, by Yavarchin Hashem, Biglalecha. But Yaakov, it says that Lavan realizes that it's the bracha that's come to the house of Lavan is because of Yaakov. That Hashem blessed the house of Lavan because of Yaakov. By Yosef, it says, Vayerech Hashem et Beit HaMitzri b'glal Yosef. The house of the Mitzri was blessed because of Yosef. Beit HaDav Gavar lo amivrech. So he says, the house of this individual, mean Achav, my house is not getting a bracha. Shem lo yirei elokim ata. Maybe you, Avadia, that are hanging out here, maybe you're not such a yirei elokim. Otherwise, I really got to, like, just like by Yosef and Yaakov, it would have been. So Yatz the Batko v'amro. So Batko came out from the Shemaim, v'Avadia haya yirei et Hashem ma'od. Makes a statement about Avadia that the problem is not Avadia, he's yirei Hashem ma'od. Avo beitosh shel Achav, enu mezuman the bracha. It's the house of Achav that's not deserving of the bracha. The problem is not with Avadia, the problem is with Achav himself. Amar Abba, Abba Gadol, Shenem Arba Vadyo, Yotemi Mashnever Abraham. That which is said about Avadio is greater than what is said by Abraham. Deal by Abraham, Loktiv Me'od. Ovadiao, Ktiv Me'od. You have the additional word Me'od that is found by the appellation there, or the accolade of Avadio over the accolade that's given to Abraham, which is Atadiyadati Kirelu Kimata. Now I know that you're Re'elu Kim. Over here it says Atayyere Hashem Me'od. Both these cases, it seems that the Yaakov marries the daughters of Lavan, and Yosef marries the daughter of Potiphera. So it's very nice in the Marsha. Very good. Shaul mentioned that the Marsha indicates that that's why they were roi to have bracha, even though they themselves may not have been ruim, but their household was roi, as opposed to Beit Achav, which was bad from top to bottom. All right, now Amar Yitzchak Mirei Ma Zachav Vadiyahu Leneviut. Why did Avadiyahu get Neviut? What's the problem with Avadiyahu? Is that he's a ger. And a ger, in a shkina shorel, I'm yuchasim shvei Yisrael. So why did Ovadiyahu get a nevuah? So what was his zchut that he got a nevuah? Neshech bi me'a nevi'im b'ma'ra. Because he hid 100 nevi'im at the time that Achav and Zevel was going around wiping out all the nevi'i Hashem. He kept hidden 100 nevi'im. So, Shnei Ravihi Bachrit Zevel at the nevi'i Hashem, which he was wiping out, destroying all the nevi'i Hashem. Vayikach Ovadiyahu me'a b'nevi'im v'yichbi'im. Went ahead and he took 100 of the Nevi'im and he hid them, 50 ish b'mara, 50 in each cave. Maishna 50 ish, why did he put 50 in each cave? Amar Rabbi Lazar, Yaakov Lamad, learn from Lamad, Shnei Raya Machaneh Ashner Lepleita. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, split them up. You put 50 in one cave, 50 in another cave. If some of them are discovered, they still have the others that will survive. Rabbi Abba Amar, Lefishayin Maram, Akzaki Yotem 50. It's just a practical issue. He just had caves that held 50 people, right? Couldn't fit them all into one cave because he didn't have that. He had a cave that fit 50, so he had to put 50 in there and he had another cave that fit another 50. Right? Chazon Avodiyahu, Ko Amar Shem Elokim Le'edom. So how come the nevuah, the vision that Avadiyah gets is about Edom? Maishna Avadiyah le'Edom. Why was Avadiyah's nevuah assigned to Edom? Amar Yitzchak Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yovo Avadiyahu Hadar Ben Shnei Rishayim. Let's take Avadiyah who lived between two Rishayim. Who was the two Rishayim? Between Achav and his wife Zevah. So Avadiyah serves in their palace. He's the Nevi in the palace and he's there with Achav and Avadiyah and yet Achav and Zevah and yet he's still a Yirei Hashem. He's still an Navi Hashem, v'lo lamad mimasehem, and he was not influenced by their actions. V'nivei al Esav Rasha, he should come along and give nevuah, right, prophecy about Esav Rasha shadar ben shnei tzadikim, that lived amongst two tzadikim between Yitzchak and Rivka. V'lo lamad mimasehem, and he didn't learn from their ways. He ended up going off in the derech halo nechona. Right, Amar Ephraim Maksha'a Tamido Shel Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Maksha said to Tamid Rabbi Meir, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Uvadya Ger Edomi Haya. He was a convert from Edom. V'hainu Damre Inche. Right, so this is what people always say. Minei Uve Abo Nizobe Nargo. From the forest itself that is going to be cut down, you make the handle of the axe. Meaning that the one who comes to destroy will be the one who is provided by itself. The destroyer is provided in and of itself from the item that's going to be destroyed. So just like the forest provides the handle for the axe, so too the Edom provided the Navi that predicts their downfall. Now, the same thing by David HaMelech. Vayached Moav, he kills Moav. Vayimadidim b'chevel, he lays them out by the rope. Ashkebo tamarts, he laid them down. He takes two-thirds and one-third, kills them. So here, David is the one who goes and kills or wipes out Moav. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Hainu Damri Inche Minei Uvei Abo Lizel Bein Argo. From the forest itself comes the hand, the axe that will cut it down. So to over here, where is David HaMelech? David HaMelech is from Ramut HaMoaviyah. And he goes ahead and destroys Moab. Yadar Abdini Amar Rech Mitocha Masarechet Masrechet. When you have something, a derivative of that area, that is what causes the rot, the decay happens from something that came from inside of it. So just like David HaMelech is from Moab, the decay, the destruction of Moab comes from in that, right, that limb of Moab, and same thing with Edom. Ovadiah, who gives a nevuah about Edom, that they will be destroyed because he was the one that came from Edom. So it says, Vayikach et b'no abachor, Hashem lot chtapta, vayalei ola alachoma. So this is in the battle. Again, this is a battle where Yehoshaphat goes to battle later on. This is after Ahab's death. He's called to battle by the son of Ahab, and they go to battle together, him, Melech Israel, and Melech Edom. The three of them make a joint effort, align each other, become allies, and they go to fight Melech Moab. In the battle with Melech Moab, they had no water. They're very thirsty, and the army is about to die of thirst, and they're complaining. The fact that, how can it be that God brought us, these three kings, out here to die of thirst out in there and fall before Moab? So Yehoshaphat, as Kedarka B'Kodesh, everywhere you see this, Yehoshaphat goes, bring me a Navi. Where's the Navi, and who's the Navi that shows up? This time is Elisha. Elisha shows up, and Elisha says, listen, I don't want to be here, because the Melech Yisrael is somebody who I have no interest in talking to, because he's so evil. The Melech Yisrael is nobody I want to be involved with. But because of the zchut of Yehoshaphat, I'm here. But since Elisha was so upset about the Melech Yisrael, he couldn't have nevuah. So then they brought in Vayibkim and Again, Aman Again. When they brought him music to stir up his spirits. And then he has the nevuah. And he says in the nevuah that the water will come here. So they end up having, that would come. They saw water came and it fed the armies. And Moab saw the water, and they saw the water look like blood. So they thought that what happened was that the alliance broke up, and there was a inter-alliance fighting, meaning that they fought amongst themselves, and they killed each other. So Moab gets all excited, and they attack, thinking that there's a civil war of sorts going on here. And they find out they were wrong. There was an illusion that the water looked like blood, and then they kill Moab. They're able to kill Moab at the time. So there, Moab, in the defeat, they try at one point, they say, listen, let's take a group of individuals and let's get to the king of Edom. Just make a rush to get to the king. And they try to make the rush and they're repelled. So by that point, when they see that they're losing, it says, Vayikach et b'no abachor, Melech Moab takes his oldest son, Shem Loch Tatav, that the prince, meaning that the prince in line to be the king, Ve'le Ola Alachoma, and he makes him a Ola on the wall, meaning that he gives him as an Ola in order to, it's like last ditch effort to save the situation. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shmuel, it's Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel. Chal Amar L'Shem Shemayim, that he was Makivim L'Shem Shemayim, V'chal Amar L'Shem Avodah Zarah. He did Avodah Zarah. Bishlo Naman Damar L'Shem Shemayim, Mor says, Reinu Dichtiv, the next Pasuk says here, after the battle, Vayiketzef Gadol Al Yisrael. Shem was very angry at Bnei Yisrael. Laman Damar L'Shem Avodah Zarah, Amai Vayiketzef. If he was doing Avodah Zarah, why was he angry at the Klal Yisrael? So if they did it L'Shem Shemayim, then it was really it was a horrible thing that Bnei Israel themselves, right, were not willing to worship Hashem. And here this individual, Melech Moab, is willing to give up his oldest son to Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's willing to be makriv his oldest son towards Hashem. And he was doing it L'Shem Shemayim. Here Bnei Israel weren't even following the ways of Hashem. They're worshiping Avodah Zarah. And this individual is willing to give up his son. The other hand, if he's doing it Avodah Zarah, why is that so bad for Klal Yisrael? What type of incriminating incriminating action is this towards Klal Yisrael, that he was makriv his son Avodah Zarah. So it says, oh, that's Rabbi Shua ben Levi. The Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rami Ktiv, it says in the Pasuk, this is in Yechezkel, two different Pasukim in Yechezkel. One in Yechezkel, hey, which says, U'mishpatei agoyim ashizotem lo'asitem, that you did not do like the laws of the nations around you. Now this is a negative statement. The statement says you did not follow the ways of the Torah, you didn't follow the ways of Hashem, but not only did you not follow those ways, you didn't even follow the ways, the good laws of the nations around you. I mean, a negative statement. You didn't even follow the good laws that were of the nations around you. You let everything go. And the other person says, you did do like the laws or the ways of the goyim around you. So, commit to komim, shem lo asitim. You did not do the positive laws or the proper, let's say, the ethical laws that they had, you did not do. But the negative stuff you did take on. So when it came to the nations around you, you did say take some of their customs or laws. You took the negative ones. But you did not take the positive ones. And it says, Vayis'u, me'alav vayishuvu la'aretz. It's a continuation of the same pasuk by Moav. Melech Moav, his mark of his son, it says, Vayis'u, me'alav vayishuvu la'aretz. Everybody travels away from here, they go home. And it says, Vayiketzav gadol Yisrael. And there was anger against Klal Yisrael. So, Amri Chanina bar Papa, Otosha, Yerdu Rishayim shal Yisrael, the Madrigah Tochtona. The Rishayim of Bnei Yisrael were at the lowest notch on the ladder. There was nothing below them at that time. Which means, because it says, it doesn't say, Vayeshuv le'artzam, they went back to their land, but it says rather, they went back to la'aretz. They went down to the ground. They went into the ground, meaning that they were as low as the ground. Why is that? Because they were worshipping. That's exactly what Melech Moab was doing, is exactly what they were doing. They were taking they were worshipping Avodah Zarah, they were being makriv their children to Avodah Zarah. They were doing the exact same actions that Melech Moab was, that caused them to lose the battle. And Bnei Yisrael were acting in the same manner. And they were taking the worst actions or the worst customs of that which the nations did around them, and not the best. Rashi, an example here, brings, it's very funny here, he brings from Melech Moab. He says, you didn't do the positive actions of Moab. Where was there a positive action of Moab? That's from the Sefer Shoftim, by Eglon, Melech Moab. Right when, so an Ehud ben Gera approaches Melech Moab and he says, I have a word for you from Hashem. Melech Moab stands up. So here you have something positive. The Melech Moab gives kavod on Kodesh Baruch Hu. He gives a kama like he say. He gets up off his throne. So that you didn't even do. I mean, you didn't act like Deglon Melech Moab, who had something positive to say. But rather you did like Mesha Melech Moab here, who was defeated, and his makrivah son, Avodah Zarah. So it came to choice between picking the custom. You have two Melechei Moab, two kings of Moab. One of them that did something positive stands up and gives kavod to Hashem. And the other one who gives makrivah his son to Avodah Zarah, which is a negative thing. And you chose to follow the ways of Mesha Melech Moab and not those of the Eglon Melech Moab. It's an Amar. So now we have a continue. Vanara Yafa Ad Me'od. So I'm about here about Avishag Ashunamit. So over here, this is like almost like totally out of context. Rashi points out the reason that we have it here is because of the word Me'od that we darshaned before. We darshaned the word Me'od by Avodiah, right, against Abraham. So over here, they're darshaning the word Me'od by Avishag Ashunamit. It's also clear that I think that they want to end off the paragraph on a higher note. Vanera Yafa Ad Me'od. Avishag was beautiful. This is the woman that they brought to nurse David at the end of his life. So Amar Chanina bar Papa, Dain lo yigia lechatzi yofi shel Sarah. She didn't even read up to the half level of the beauty of Sarah. Dichtiv ad me'od, velo me'od b'klal. She was ad me'od. She was very beautiful, ad me'od. But who had the me'od? That was by Sarah, which it says, ki yafahi me'od. She was extremely beautiful. So she only reached until the me'od, but not b'klal. You know, ad velo b'klal. Right, so that she reached up to the half that, but she didn't reach to the level of Ma'od, which is the ultimate beauty of Sarah Imenu. Okay, we'll stop over there.